Still in the company is delivered by TriStar Moving, 1025, 1063. The game streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. Thanks to Superbook Sports. Live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Studios. We are at Jasper's on West End, where they've got all the tournament games rocking and rolling. It is the spot to be for the Predators tonight. Before you go to the Predators game, always come by Jasper's. They got free parking here as well to take great care of you as always. TD is here for the TD Power Hour. What's up, TD?
What's going on, man? If I'd have known you were at Jasper's, I'd have came over there, man, and joined you.
Oh, we got the whole crew over here. Everybody's laughing about something. I don't know what it is, but I just saw Chase McCabe's face, and it was as bright red as the shirt that I have on right now. So I don't know what he's laughing. They're all over there chuckles. Yeah. TD, let's get started on this. Andre Dillard, Danny Brunskill, Azeez Alshire, Luke Gifford, Arden Key, Aaron Brewer, Tier Tart, Nick Westbrook, Akine. Your thoughts on what the Titans have done so far. What do you make of it?
Well, there's one key thing that continues to show up in the guys that they brought from outside of the building, and that's opportunity, the lack thereof. And we've talked extensively about Andre Dillard. You know he's a guy that I felt was going to be a fit because of the lack of opportunity there in Philly. I think it was a value deal, right? You bring in a guy who would come in, be your left tackle, and start there. Obviously, as I told you, you're going to have a little bit of a fall-off run blocking, but he is legit in pass pro, so that's solid. Brunskill, I think, is a really good option for them. Just at the very least from a versatility standpoint, he's played literally every position on the offensive line. He started at tackle for San Francisco, started at center. He started at guard, mostly at guard. He has, I believe, over 20 starts at right guard, right? 17 mm-hmm. in 2021. So you have that. I think bringing in Azeez Alshire, I mean, you saw the look on my face when we talked about David Long not coming back, the disgust, the sadness, you know, not because I'm a fan of the team. I'm a fan of him, and I'm a fan of good football, and it's fun watching him play. But guess what? Alshire, if you go back and you watch him, a lot of the similar attributes are there with him as far as being able to come up and make plays against the run, dropping back in coverage, at times, you know, covering two routes, not allowing himself to get high load or anything like that in zone coverage, being able to match up with tight ends. He brings all of that. So that's exciting to see him come in, and he'll probably wear the same number, 51. So maybe watching film will be just the same. We'll see. Then you move on to Arden Key, and you're talking about juice. Pure juice coming off the edge. Again, it's opportunity, right? He was stuck behind Trayvon Walker and Josh Allen, two very high draft picks coming off the edge, you know, as edge defenders. But in situations, he maximized them. So that's really good for them. And again, you talk about being stuck behind players. Alshire was stuck behind Dre Greenlaw and Fred Warner. So it's really all about opportunities. I think that's the main thing for those guys. Obviously, Tier Tart, I think, is a really good value at where they got him. And next year, they're going to have to pay the piper or figure something out, because he will be a free agent if they don't agree to some type of extension. So that's something. But, I mean, losing Kevin Strong went to the Cardinals, and we know DeMarcus Walker. Now, that, Jarrett, that's an underrated loss that the mm-hmm. Titans suffered. And I think that deserves a little more attention, because he gave them consistent play off the edge, but he also bumped inside as a D tackle, and he played well. And there were times where I saw him make a play, and I was like, oh, good play, Big Jeff. Well, wait a minute. That's DeMarcus Walker. You know
what
I mean?
Yeah, because he would wear the red arm sleeves. Exactly.
I thought
the same way.
And the only you would know the difference, because after Walker made a play, he would always do that. Cross his arms and stand there. So, you know, okay, yeah, that's Walker. That's not Jeff. But, I mean, losing him and that depth that he brought, that's something that they're going to have to make up. And I think when you look at Key, he's someone – he could put his hand in the dirt in the even front, but the way he brings that juice, that speed to power off of the edge as a stand-up rusher, that's going to help make up for the loss of Bud Dupree. And I think when you look at – him and Autry and Tart and Simmons and Landry, you're cooking with a little something up front.
Mm-hmm. I actually think, to your point, I mean, I do think DeMarcus Walker was a good player, and he played the position that I like. I call it sacker. you know, he would get after the quarterback. But I will say that I like the combination of Arden Key, Harold Landry, and Rashad Weaver more than the combination of Bud Dupree when he was on the field, DeMarcus Walker, and Rashad Weaver. You know what I mean?
Yeah, Key brings more juice, but mm-hmm. Dupree just brings that brute strength and power off the edge. I think you talk about DeMarcus Walker and you call him Sacker. He's someone where you're like, hey, look, just go destroy things. You know what I mean? And that's the same thing you could ask from Key coming off of that edge. I just want you – there's another phrase that you could use that I don't curse, so I won't use it, and we're on the radio, so we definitely won't use it. But there's another phrase that they use for what you want Arden Key to do.
What do you make of the $4 million RFA tender for Aaron Brewer? TD, I know you hate talking about a man's value and saying, well, hey, would anybody have given him more than the $2 million or the $2.6 million for the $4 million? What do you make of the Titans' decision to go with the second-round tender, the added money, and what does that signify for what the Titans view Aaron Brewer as?
Well, to me, it is no different from how they viewed him in the past as the center of the future. I felt that was always the case where they believed he was the guy that was going to shift over to center once Ben Jones retired or wasn't there anymore. The tender it's a higher tender, but I get it. I mean, if you're a starting center at $4 million, I think that's value, mm-hmm. right? And if a team were to sign him, they give up that second-round pick. Now you're looking like, okay, John Michael Schmidt maybe.
Oh, yeah, but you know nobody's going to sign Brewer for a second-round pick.
Right, right. It was very unlikely, very unlikely. So I don't think it was – I probably would have put a first right of refusal tender on him as opposed mm-hmm. to that high of a number. But, I mean, it's showing you what they believe he can do.
I was stunned yesterday when I saw that they didn't put the first right of refusal tender on there. The one thing I thought about today, because, you know, I'm trying to come up with theories in my head for why they did it when I just so wouldn't have done it. Do you think that they looked at that $2 million, the difference between the second and the right of first refusal, and they said to themselves, if we pay the $2 million, then no matter what, we do not have to worry about losing him and then all of a sudden having to go find a center in case somebody did want to give him a contract? Or do you think they looked at it as a status symbol to say, hey, we believe in you, Aaron, so much so that we're going to put the second-round tender on you and not the eeny-meeny tender on you?
I think it was more of, hey, let's just make sure that we have this position set. Mm-hmm. I think that's really what it was. Let's make sure that we have the guy that we want, at least for this year, at that position. That's really, in my opinion, how it went. But at the same time, you look at this draft, TCU has a center guard, Steve Avila, and he's someone that, you know, down at the Senior Bowl, he played well. You could get him a little bit later. He could come in. If you want him to play left guard, he could do that. And then if you decide to move on from Brewer, you could bump him over to center next year. That is an option. And I know, and I said this to you yesterday, I know you like to see, you know, the big fat guys up front.
Love him.
He's a big fat guy. And if you go back and watch TCU versus Texas, they have big, big fat guys. And he was moving those guys out the way.
I like my linemen fat. I remember Jack Conklin lost some weight a couple years ago. People are like, hey, did you see Jack Conklin? He looked like he's trimmed down. I'm like, I do not want him to trim down. I want him to hit the donuts. I want I like my linemen fat. That being said, I do think one thing the Titans are doing, TD, and I want your thoughts on this, I think they are trading run blocking for pass blocking. I'm not sure that that's totally fair to Derrick Henry, but when I put on the tape of both Brewer playing center mm-hmm. versus the Packers mm-hmm. and Andre Dillard last year in the four games that he started at left tackle, I think they are very good finesse pass blockers of keeping their man away from the quarterback, but I do think it will hurt in the run blocking. What is your thought on that trade-off?
No, that's true. They are trading some of that away. But at the same time, when you look at these two players, these finesse players, these athletic players, that's ideal for a zone blocking scheme. So mm-hmm. I know you want somebody who's going to take and grab somebody and literally move them out of the way. But in this case, you know, they're doing a lot of blocking spots as opposed to, you know, actual people. So it can be offset some, but you are right. It seems like that's what they're doing because you got two guys who are better in pass pro than run blocking, especially in Dillard's case. So I think we'll see how this thing goes. The left guard, that's going to be one to watch. And I know they met with Osiris Torrance out of Florida. With the signings that they've done, you really don't have to, and you never want to do this anyway, to say, hey, I have to get this position at my first-round pick. Mm-hmm. They put themselves in a position where they could go best player available, literally, and it could be anyone from Jalen Carter to a Devin Witherspoon to a Paris Johnson Jr. If you want to put Quentin Johnston in there, you could. Now, I wouldn't take him at 11, but, I mean, if you want to put him in there, you could put him in the mix. So that's the good part of how they set it up.
TD's with us, 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We will get, as we always do, to your phones at the end of the hour for TD. Now we've gone over the guys they've gone after and already signed. Who's still out there that's a fit? We'll go over that next here with TD. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Let me tell you about FanDuel Sportsbook. That's my official sportsbook app. That's right. I love the FanDuel Sportsbook app. So far, though, it says they want me to give you my picks. You don't want my picks because the NCAA tournament, four games have concluded, and I am 1-3 so far in the tournament, and the only one that I got right was Kansas beating Howard. So that's all I got for you. So don't follow my lead there. But this March, take a shot at college hoops with a no-sweat bet on FanDuel Sportsbook. It doesn't matter if you're new to FanDuel or if you already have an account, because right now all customers can tip off the tourney with a no-sweat bet. Just sign into your FanDuel Sportsbook account to claim yours today. Or if you're new to FanDuel, go to FanDuel.com/JGM to get in on all the action. Then you can bet on everything from the money line to point spreads to the 5 versus 12. It says in the copy, host, tell the audience about some teams or bets you like. Again, 1-3 so far through four. I don't think you want to roll with me on this one. All on an app that's safe, secure, and super easy to use. There's no better place to bet the tournament than on FanDuel Sportsbook. So go to FanDuel.com/JGM to join now or sign into your FanDuel account to claim your no sweat bet today. 21 and older and present in Tennessee. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Max bonus is $5 unless otherwise specified and restrictions do apply. See full terms at FanDuel.com/sportsbook. Gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line 1-800-889-9789.
What do you make of what Rand Carthon and Mike Vrabel have done to this point in free agency?
Well, I think it's kind of the pattern I would have expected. The 49ers links make sense, and you've got some guys here. I wouldn't call them value bins, but, you know, I think in Al Shaair, in Brunskill, and in Dillard, you've got guys. Brunskill obviously started a lot of games for 2 years, but last year, you know, he only started 2 games, and he's looked at by 49ers people as the ultimate utility guy. Dillard, obviously, you know, was never a full-time guy. Al Shaair also was, you know, kind of a role player and a special teamer. So these guys, we haven't seen all the contract details. I wish, for God's sake, people would listen and stop saying $29 million for Dillard, but they won't wait to see the contract. And it's going to wind up being cheaper than that on paper. But these three guys all have upside.
There you go. That was Paul Kaharsky yesterday on Robbie and Rex Road. TD is with us for the TD Power Hour. So we've been over the guys, TD, that the Titans have signed. What about some of the holes they still have on the roster? Right now, left guard, I think it's still a hole they have on the roster. Unless they want to put a guy like Jordan Roos at left guard next year. Wide receiver 2 is absolutely a hole they still have on the roster. And even that tight end 2 spot behind Treylon Burks, still holes, and there are still guys out there. One, what do you think about the situation the Titans are in as far as what they still need? And 2, what pops into your mind when you think about how they can fill them before the draft?
Yeah, no, there's definitely needs for some guys in the receiver room. I think when you look at, you know, some of the options you could bring in a veteran, DJ Shark, Marvin Jones. Now, Jones is a bit long in the tooth at 33 years old, but he's a very polished veteran, and I think he would be ideal working with Treylon Burks. Mac Hollins is a guy of interest to me. I remember him coming out of North Carolina when the Eagles drafted him. I believe it was the fourth round. And he was viewed as a red zone guy. But even in college, he was known for his special teams prowess. And I'll never forget, he caught a long touchdown on Monday Night Football. I want to say it was against Washington. And that's when he really showed, like, that speed that he has and the deep threat ability. Obviously, we saw what happened last year going against
Terrence Mitchell.
Yeah, Mitchell. It was Mitchell. That's who it was.
And in fairness to Mitchell, he was much better than that one game was.
Well, he had just came in that Wednesday. Yeah. You know what I mean? So
I didn't think Mitchell was bad.
No, not at all. Zach Pascal is another one. I mean, I wouldn't be opposed to signing him. Now, you're not signing him. Remember, he used to kill the Titans, by the way. Mm-hmm. You're not signing him to be your top-level receiver. I mean, he's a legit wide receiver three. He could give you slot as well as outside. So there's a few guys still left in there from a bargain perspective. Darius Slayton is another one. Here's a name for you. You want speed? Justin Watson is an impressive receiver out of Kansas City. And he, at University of Penn, he was a high-level sprinter in the 100 and the 200. So if you want speed, and it shows, he had a long catch. I think it was a 35-yarder against the Titans this year. But you want speed, he's someone. So I think the receiver position obviously is one to address. You look at the safeties, that's another one where, I mean, I would love for them to be able to bring back a guy like Lonnie Johnson. I know he had the injuries, so he probably wouldn't be brought back. But as far as what you need, like that tweener, corner slash safety, he definitely was good. I really liked him coming out of Kentucky, frankly. So that's somebody. You always have safeties available to you. So, I mean, you know, Nasir Adderley is one that I thought would have been a good mix. But he had the injuries, and he just retired. So there's options. But I think safety and just that nickel DB-wise, they are probably going to go draft one of those guys. And there's two that I think would be ideal for the Titans. One is Riley Moss out of Iowa. I love he's actually – Jared, he's my favorite corner in this draft. I'm not saying he's the best, but he's my favorite corner in this draft.
I don't want to, you know, demean him with this because it's not demeaning. He's the white guy, right?
Yeah, he's a white corner. And it's funny because you put him out there and they're like, oh, yeah, we're going to pick on the white corner. But when he runs step by step with basically anybody and he runs routes for the receiver and he shows ball skills, I mean, this guy – what was it?
Jason Sehorn?
No. That's a lazy comparison.
I
watched – I'm trying to remember what game. I want to say Indiana, where he had three interceptions and two pick sixes. And he's someone – you go down to the Senior Bowl, he clocked at 19 miles an hour on the GPS tracking. But he's the guy that could bump inside and play nickel as well. But, see, he gives you that nickel that could turn and run with the fast receivers. So that's somebody. And then you got Jamie Robinson out of Florida State who's just – he reminds me, if you remember, LaMarcus Joyner. Like one of those not big guys, but you could send him on blitzes. He'll come up and run support. He could cover. He's a solid player. So those are two I think of. But, I mean, they're going to need to do some things, absolutely, to fill those two positions. I think they'll need – you know, another – they're going to need a third down type of back, and that's something else. I from what I understand, they are interested, or they've met with Tamir Spears out of Tulane, so that's something else too.
What do you make of the tight end spot? Chigakonkwo's there. I really want Austin Hooper back, TD. I thought that he and Tannehill really started to vibe there at the end as a possession tight end. I certainly don't think that wide receiver two is going to be, you know, an impact player for them at that level, but I'm not sure if they have interest in bringing Austin Hooper back.
Yeah, I don't know what the interest level is in bringing Hooper back, but I think he would be a good option for them. Regardless of what they do, they're going to have to bring in, regardless of whether or not they bring Hooper back, they're going to have to bring in a more of an inline guy also, you know, kind of to fill that Jeff Swain role, but more versatility so they're not so predictable with their personnel packages. I think Hooper, though, would be a good option, and you could run a lot of, you know, 12 and 13 personnel with Hooper, Chig, and whoever else they bring in tight end-wise. You know, whether if they draft a guy like Darnell Washington or, you know, Sam LaPorta out of Iowa. There's options, guys that are literally in line that could also catch the football.
Would you bring in a guard so that you've got five starters when you approach draft night, or do you think they're going to look to fill left guard in the draft? And I mean, not that I know what kind of money they have or what money this would cost, but Isaac Seumalo of the Eagles played next to Andre Dillard, and he's out there as a potential left guard.
Yeah, Seumalo I remember they drafted him out of Oregon State, and he was someone – it was this, actually, he was the third-round pick in 2016. They got Carson Wentz that same year. He's a guy that they thought would eventually take over at center for Jason Kelce, but Jason Kelce is like – I don't know if you remember the old movie Cocoon, where, like, the old people got in the pool and all of a sudden they got young again. That's Jason Kelce, man. Like, he doesn't age, so – they weren't able to move Seumalo to center, and they eventually slotted him at guard, and he played solid at guard. But I don't know how much they'll be able to invest in him, you know, as the cap continues to, or as you would say, their budget continues to decrease. I don't know how much they would be positioned to be able to invest in him.
Do we have any idea what these contracts they've signed are worth?
No.
I mean, what is the deal? Normally, these things come out right away.
Right.
The only one we have any clue on is Arden Key.
Yeah, yeah. And it's up to $6 million for Al Shire. And not sure. Like, the details haven't come out on the Dillard one. And, you know, he was the first guy, the main one to sign. If I'm not mistaken, the linebacker was first, right, from the Cowboys?
Yes, Gifford. We do know Luke his Gifford. Number. Gifford is like $1 million, but it can go up to $5 million or something like that.
I don't know. I think they're waiting it out. But I tell you what that tells me. You know, anytime an agent has a deal that looks favorable to them, they make sure it's out there. You know, whether it's you know, one of these newsbreakers are going to know and put it out there. So that tells me that it's probably not the best deal. Mm-hmm. But we'll see.
I mean, I think what's crazy about these contracts are they say up to. I mean, I guess if that's the case, you know, we get paid whenever we do one of these, you know, tell you about FanDuel Sport, whatever. So I guess my contract is up to $1 billion, maybe even more than that. Not that I'll make $1 billion this year, but that is, you know, I've never up to. That's my favorite.
Yeah,
up to.
I always despise that up to, because like they'll say you can save up to $100 if you do. Like, come on, man. Just tell me what my savings are, man.
Thank you. But you're right. They're probably team-friendly deals if the money hasn't gotten out there.
Exactly.
Which makes me wonder how much money they still have in the kitty.
Yeah.
Which they'll never tell us.
I mean, if you put that – so looking at SpotTrack, they have the projected – market value for Isaac Seumalo at 2 years, 24. That's 12.1 per. I'm not doing that for a left guard when this draft is so deep.
Well, and the guard market would tell us that you don't have to do that because Nate Davis got 10.
True that.
So my guess is Seumalo would probably be lucky to get 7.5 right now.
Yeah, and I mean, in real money, it probably something along those lines, because you could always – balloon it, right, and make it look extra special, and then actually have, okay, $14 million in guarantees, you know what I mean, with incentives to push it to whatever. That AAV is always one that you could inflate that and make that look sexier than it actually is.
To your point about agents getting the numbers out, yesterday when Orlando Brown signed, it was like, the highest signing bonus ever. We want everybody to know that, because the actual money itself was – $16 million a year. Like, it was not an overly impressive deal other than the signing bonus money. To TD's point, the agents want that out there.
Yeah, they want to find some kind of win. Absolutely.
What about the draft? We heard TD talk about a lot of guys, but how could the Titans mentally, how has this week positioned them for the draft? We'll get TD's thoughts on that. We'll do that next. Live from Jasper's out here on West End. Again, we got all the tournament games on in front of us. It's Stillman and Company right here, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Is this a team that you think is closer to competing, or are they closer to maybe like retooling? And what would you do if you were the new GM in Tennessee?
Well, I think you got to look certainly at the offensive line is the big issue. And certainly, I think about quarterback, we can get to that as well, but and what's going to happen there. But the offensive line was the problematic area. Paris Johnson Jr. from Ohio State, talented kid. Certainly, he's going to get better with coaching and more experience. I projected him to the Tennessee Titans. But you think about that division, Indianapolis is going to go get a quarterback, right? Jacksonville's got Trevor Lawrence. They're set. So they're in great shape as well. So I think you look at where we are right now with the Tennessee Titans, and the Houston Texans are going to get their quarterback. We know that. So you have a young quarterback in Houston, young quarterback in Indy, and you got Trevor Lawrence in Jacksonville. And here's Tennessee sitting there looking at maybe, like I say, the offensive lineman out of Ohio State. So a team right now, we know what Mike Vrabel's done. He's done a phenomenal job coaching this football team. There's areas they need to address, figure out quarterback as well moving forward, but get this offensive line straightened out to the best of their capability so it won't be as problematic as it was this past season.
There you go. That was Mel Kiper Jr., and he had Paris Johnson mocked to the Titans at 11 in his latest mock. Todd McShay's mock draft, which came out last week, had Johnson mocked at 11 to the Titans. TD, they signed a left tackle in Andre Dillard, but it's not like they signed a left tackle for Mike McGlinchey money or Orlando Brown money to play left tackle. So how has what you've seen in free agency affected your draft plans if you are Rand Carthon and Mike Vrabel, TD?
Well, I think it puts you in a situation where you don't have to force the pick, right? You don't go in there saying, I have to get a left tackle. I have to get this position or that position. You're situated to where you could allow the board to fall to you, and you pick according to how your ranking is. And I think that's a really good option for them. And I tell you what, one of the things that I thought about is, so the Eagles yesterday, at the beginning of the day, they were going to release Darius Slay. Then towards the end of the day, it turned out they were going to find a way to keep him. Now, when they said that they were going to release him, I said to myself, all right, the Eagles picked 10th. Man, they are absolutely going to take either Devin Witherspoon or Christian Gonzalez. Probably Gonzalez because he's the flavor of the month right now. He's bigger. He tested well, ball skills, everything like that. So that could put Devin Witherspoon on the board at 11. Remember, Christian Fulton is in year 4, right? Mm-hmm. Who knows what's going to happen after this year with Christian Fulton? He's someone I would absolutely look to bring back. And remember, their first-round pick.
Repeat offender, though.
Right. So remember their first-round pick from, you know, a couple years ago, Caleb Farley, has had his injury situations. And then you look at Roger McCreary. He's been solid. He had some rough spots. But a corner being selected by the team that has the 32nd pass defense, that wouldn't be out of the realm. But see, now mm-hmm. you could really look at doing something like that because you have some answers along your offensive line. And that's not to say that Paris Johnson isn't an outstanding prospect. I mean, if he's there, I would absolutely consider it. But you could weigh it differently. And I think that's what they did. They put themselves in a position where you don't come in saying you absolutely have to address this position in the first couple rounds.
TD, does the fact that they signed Arden Key take them out of the pass rusher discussion at 11?
It depends on who's there. I think, I mean.
Because don't you really like the Iowa State kid?
Yeah, but not in the first round. I think Will McDonald is a guy you could, at the most, move back for and get in the back end of the first round. But honestly, I think he's someone at pick 41 that you could look at getting. So you got him. Derek Hall out of Auburn. He's someone that Clinton McMillan, the assistant defensive line coach. He worked with him down there at the Senior Bowl. So that's an option. I mean, there are guys out there. I mean, you could go deep to undrafted guys like a Sam Farmer out of Lane who who is a really good player, 6'4", 252 pounds, 4'7". He had 11 sacks this past year. So there's guys that you could go out and get, you know, throughout the draft. I don't know if you look at 11, the top guys that, you know, are absolutely first-round worthy, they'll probably be gone by that time.
Mm-hmm. What about receiver? Because I don't see, you know, a receiver in that 11 range. And if you trade back because you like one receiver, they may not be able to get that. Like if they trade back from 11 to 19, the receiver they like might not be there. And yet I still feel like unless they work out a trade for a guy who ends up being unhappy with his team, I mean, ultimately, I think that the Titans' best option opposite Treylon Burks is probably in this draft.
Yeah, I would say that. If you look, so they're at 11. I mean, I figure the Packers will probably look at somebody. Let's see. Yeah, I mean, you could probably move back. If Detroit, if there's somebody that the Lions really, really like and they want to move up to 11, you know, that 18 to 26 range, I think, is a place where you could go and you could get a solid receiver. And it's one of those things where you have to move back with the understanding, okay, you know what, Zay Flowers may not be there, but you know what, Josh Downs, Jordan Addison, these are other guys I think have value in that range. And they'll probably be, you know what I mean? You have to just look at the board that way and just try to predict how it's going to fall.
Now, how many guys can they draft and be comfortable that would be ready to play this season? Because they've only got six picks, and, you know, can we really feel like the sixth round pick will be ready to play right now or even be sure that guy's going to make the team?
I mean, I think you can. This scouting staff, they've produced guys who contributed quickly in the sixth round. You know, you look at David Long. I mean, Amani Hooker was a fourth rounder, right? Amani Hooker? Yeah, so you have guys that have been able to you know, come in and help out immediately. I think it's just one of those things where at this point you just want to just add playmaking ability. That's whether it's at whatever position, that's what you want to add. And you just kind of let things fall where they may. And I think legitimately a lower draft pick can come in and help. I mean, an undrafted free agent could come in and help. It all depends on the situation that they're put in.
TD's with us. Get your phones in for TD. 615-737-1025 is the phone number, and we're right to them next. Teron Davenport with us for the TD Power Hour. We are live out at Jasper's. Again, out here on West End Avenue, we're watching the tournament. I mean, half of our staff is here, and I feel kind of jealous because they've got the shot and the beers, I think, going on right now. Again, enjoy the shot and a beer special, a shot of Nelson's Greenbrier Tennessee Whiskey plus a bottle of domestic beer for just $10. And I know they're doing that because I see bottles out there. Jasper's upscale bar fare, oversized bar, TVs, and game room make them the place to catch all of the tournament games and to hang out before the Preds games. Come on here just like tonight. That's Jasper's out here on West End Avenue. Stillman & Company, TD Power Hour, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. TD Power Hour, Teron Davenport with us. Some questions for TD. TD, do you have a thought or do you want to go to the phones?
To the phones.
Phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Coy in Clarksville. TD, if you were Rand Carthon, what would your next free agent move be? And would you go best player available in round one and two? Or would you focus on wide receiver in round two since there is a large pool of wide receiver in that round?
I would go best player available in rounds 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, not always go best player available. But to his point, there are a good amount of receivers that will be there at 41, but there's some that will be there later. You look at Xavier Hutchinson. You look at Tyler Scott, Trey Tucker. I mean, there's a bunch of options that you could go lower with. So that's my thought there. The next free agent to sign, I mean, that's a tough call. I would look at adding honestly, I would re-sign. I would bring Austin Hooper back and then look receiver.
I'm wondering why the Titans – I mean, I don't know what they're doing behind the scenes, but why they haven't brought Hooper back. But that's neither here nor there. TD, should the Titans consider J.D. McKissic as a complimentary run and catch option? He's so quick and has good hands and runs physically and might be an upgrade over Dontrell Hilliard.
Yeah, because Hilliard's a free agent. I think you could get Dontrell Hilliard for cheap, though, to be honest with you. So
I would like Dontrell Hilliard
back.
Yeah,
that's the direction I would go. I don't know that he would, McKissic would necessarily be an upgrade. I like Hilliard just as much more of a pass catcher. He's an outstanding route runner, and I mean you look the way that they used him. I mean at one point he was their leading receiver touchdown wise.
So Rand Carthon said at the combine that Haskins needs more carries and more of an mm-hmm. opportunity. Mm-hmm. Would you look at them moving off of Hilliard and moving Haskins into that role?
I mean Haskins he showed that he could catch the ball. He showed that he could make strides in pass pro. But it's not the same. You know what I mean? I think, that's why a guy like Tajay Spears, I feel, that's why the Tulane receiver, I said Tamir Spears earlier, I mixed up his name, but it's Tajay Spears. That's why a guy like him really should appeal to the Titans because of his pass-catching ability. And you can motion him out to, out wide and let him run there. Eric Gray from Oklahoma, that's another one. Where these are guys who can run routes like receivers and catch the ball and be a problem in the passing game.
TD, I've been yelling and screaming about this all week, and it drives me crazy. So I'll let you answer it. This has nothing to do with me. Shane asks, what about Adam Thielen? Would he be a good sign for the Titans?
He would be at a low, low, low cost. He would be a good signing. But I think he's going to command $6 to $7 million.
And when you say low, 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 what do you mean? Like $2 million?
I'm talking about $2-3 million. Yeah, okay, you could bring him in, but he's not the same. And I think like he would be a good fit as a number two at the right cost, but he's not the same as he was. And you have to look at the team that he made his mark with. As the season decreased, his targets really, really decreased, and his production did. And now they've moved on with him. So I don't know that I go there at a high cost, to be honest with you.
Especially when Mike Vrabel's talking about needing speed.
Right.
I mean, Adam Thielen was never fast, but now he's definitely not fast.
Yeah, absolutely.
Andrew says, TD, who would be your dream non-quarterback prospect to fall to the Titans at 11?
At 11? Honestly, look, man, I've mentioned his name multiple times. CJ Stroud would be wonderful to fall to him, but we know that's not going to happen, so I'll deal in more reality. Christian Gonzalez, if the corner out of Iowa, that would be beautiful. I said Iowa. I got Riley Moss on my mind still.
There you go.
My favorite corner, but the best corner. You got 1A and 1B, he and Devin Witherspoon. But Gonzalez is everything a lot of people hoped Caleb Farley would be. Like he's a healthy Caleb Farley, basically. But he's a little more twitchy and a better as far as like actually defending the underneath routes, the double moves and those type of things. So that would be the one. He's the top corner in this draft.
What about Jalen Carter's pro day? Did it scare you?
I mean, to gain the 9 pounds in a couple weeks, that is definitely a cause for concern. But you got to look. I mean, can you imagine the stress that young man is under?
No, he got a lot going on right now.
You know, like your actual freedom is something that you're concerned about. So I would imagine it was tough for him to – look, man, long story short, it doesn't scare me away that much. But I would be willing to pick him, knowing what you have in Rand Carthon and his ability to relate to players, what you have in Mike Vrabel and his ability to dial in and get guys. But then you have a veteran mentor in Jeffrey Simmons to bring him along. I think that would be ideal.
I think the number one issue is about the legal stuff. That's the number one thing that's got to get cleared out.
Well, he entered a plea, no contest, and it's 12 months probation.
So then that's done.
That's done.
So then I think the homework about what kind of kid he is, behind the scenes probably is first. Then second, I mean, I am concerned about the pro day, but I'm picking 11th. I'm not picking 3rd. So, you know, if I'm picking 11th and Jalen Carter's there, I might have to take the potential that I could have Jeffrey Simmons and Jeffrey Jr. next to each other for 5 or 6 years. And that might be like having Tim Duncan and David Robinson together. Ryan says, what do you think about Brian Brisee from Clemson at 11?
Yeah, he's another one. He had a little bit of a decrease in production and play last year, but he lost his sister, you know, so that's another mm-hmm. one. He went through something. That he came on the scene with Clemson and was immediately a presence, and he's a guy I think, you know, would be an outstanding addition. I don't take him at 11 if that's what the texter is asking, but later in the first, like, he's a good move back option for sure.
Texter asks, TD, how much did Stetson Bennett help his stock at the combine?
That's an excellent question, and I think Stetson Bennett helped his stock tremendously. He ran well, and that's something that you saw in the title game, and just in that run up to the title game. He showed that he had some athleticism. Now, he couldn't get away from the cops when they got him, but, you know, that's a different story, just a little joke. But I think he showed the ability to throw the mid-range passing game, too. That's something I saw, and he didn't really get as much of an opportunity to do that at Georgia. He showed touch on his deep passes, too. I think he helped himself a lot, and just the Brock Purdy success helped a guy like Stetson Bennett as well. Helped a guy like Tanner Morgan also, where you have these guys who are uber experienced coming out, and it's like, okay, you know, if the stuff hits the fan and we got to put him in, he probably could do some things for us because of all the playing experience that he has in his career.
Speaking of quarterbacks, Texter says, where do you think the Titans would have to be to get Hendon Hooker?
I mean, I would imagine pick 41 is probably the where you start to see him, because if he was healthy, he would – I put him as QB3 if he was healthy. So, you know, you get the third best quarterback in the draft, a sit-and-wait situation, right, because I wouldn't put him right out there with that knee he's recovering from.
Sure.
Yeah, I think 41, like high second round is where they would probably end up.
TD, I've seen you in the lab every day this week. So that tells me that during draft season, talking with TD must be loaded. What do we have on the show?
Yeah, we're stockpiling a lot of interviews. We got 3 that we're doing today, actually. But for this week's show, I got a guy out of Grambling. Joshua Reed is his name, linebacker. He's very similar to, if you remember, Ramon Foster. Or Reuben Foster. I said mm-hmm. Ramon, like the homie Ramon. Reuben Foster out of Alabama, similar type of player. We got him on. We got Tanner Morgan out of Minnesota. Trey Tucker, wide receiver from Cincinnati. He's a guy that, will bring speed to this team if they wanted him. And Tanner Morgan, 41 starts, 33 wins, very experienced. So that's what we got this week.
TD, as always, great stuff. Appreciate you. Appreciate your time. We look forward to catching up soon.
For sure. Appreciate it.
Yep. TD joining us on the program. Let me tell you what would make the Titans' life so much easier. There is one thing out there that if it happens, it's infinitely more important than anything the Titans have done this week. And somebody is predicting it will come to fruition. We'll get to that coming up next. Stillman and Company live out at Jasper's. That's right, out here on West End Avenue. We've got all the tournament games on. We are rocking and rolling. Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.